girl not like me. Capri one crocus bag a thing now. Next to me I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them a spite me.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by the Bahamas Out Island Promotion Board, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, the Free National Movement, Unstoppable Together, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, the Sister Sister Breast Cancer Support Group, and Tropical Gyros.
Now me and the dog, them a link up. Big truck, 20 inch rim, there's a spin up. The pioneer, there's a kicks up. And a hip hop apocalypse up.
You got it locked and loaded to the Wednesday, May 29th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty and your company along with Mary Jane right up until 6 p.m. MJ, what's good? I know she's
good
zooming
afternoon.
In.
Yes, I'm here.
How are you? All good. And we got lots to talk about today. We got some special guests in this first hour as well. And we still got a lot to talk about, man. I look at the headlines in The Guardian today. I look at the budget. So me and you got to talk, but we do have some special guests. I know he was supposed to join me in studio today, but he has had some pressing business come up. But I do appreciate him calling in, so let's get to him right away. Of course, former North Abaco MP, Mr. Darren Henfield, glad to have him on the phone, chiming in. Mr. Henfield, how are you? Do we have Mr. Henfield still on the phone? Talking Heads.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It's wonderful to be on the show. You know, when I'm home in Abaco, I'm always feeling good, man.
I know.
A line in the water and see what I could hook.
There you go. And I know you had some other pressing interests apart from the grunts and the jacks. But I'll tell you, I'm glad that you chimed in, and I appreciate you taking time because I know you're really busy down there as well. But I just wanted to touch base with you. Obviously, you know, you've been, very candid with me over the years, so I wanted to hear from you. Obviously, we're into the last couple of days in F&M convention, and I just wanted to get your take on the whole scenario and how it's going down, and obviously, who are you supporting?
Well, the F&M convention I began there was determined to let the Bahamian people put their minds to rest on who will be the leader of the Free National Movement coming out of the 1st of June. There was always a lot of questions about, you know, what's going on in the F&M, what is all the confusion, what is all the fussing. And we thought that as a constitutional body to be named government, in opposition, we should lay these fears to rest and allay these thoughts and so we determined to hold a one-day convention which will focus on the leadership of the party. Obviously, I support Michael Pintard to be leader of the party, but I also understand this, and I want all F&Ms to appreciate this. After the 1st of June, when Michael Pintard becomes the leader of the Free National Movement again, we're still going to have to find a way to come together as a family and coalesce to become the next government of the Bahamas. And so while we have spirited debates, they should also be civil debates because we are one family. Families have arguments all the time. And then that's the nature of life in the Bahamas and the nature of politics in the Bahamas. And so that's something that we want people to be aware of as we go through this season of convention.
Now, let me ask you, you know, that's a very important point you made right there, because obviously the party will have to unify come June 2nd. Now, having served under Dr. Minnis and now supporting Mr. Pintard, do you think that Mr. Pintard has what it takes to unify and galvanize the party come June 2nd, if he is returned as leader?
I'm sure he does. If you look at the individuals who sat in the cabinet with Michael who supports him now, if you look at those who went before us, who supports him now, there's a lot of confidence in one Michael Pintard. Michael's been working since September 2021 to really galvanize the F&M. We suffered, Naughty, as you know, a most devastating loss in September 2021. And when Michael was elected leader, he set about trying to reorganize the party. And I saw a resurgence in the way that people attended council, the way that people attended executive meetings, and the way that F&Ms greeted us as we moved about the country, very enthusiastically once more. And now, I mean, I understand that the fair was massive, and so it shows you that FNMs are hungry and eager to get back to the business of being the free national movement that we are, but to run this country in a better way, in a more meaningful way that all Bahamians could be positively impacted and not just a few. And that's what Michael is about. He's a man who consults. You know, we've had numerous caucus meetings as parliamentarians. You know, I sit in the Senate and the others in the House of Assembly, and we caucus on bills. I'll give you one example. We had the gang bill that we looked at recently. And we had in our caucus people like Davy Burrows, Pastor Davy Burrows, Troy Clark. These people are very familiar with gang operation and rehabilitation. We even had a chaplain from the prisons in our caucus. Michael believes that we should use the brightest and best minds to move the country forward. And that's why I call him a transformational type of leader in the Bahamas. Sometimes we go in the House of Assembly or the Cabinet, and we imbibe this thing that we feel we know all things. We don't. We want a Bahamas that participates in its future. We want a Bahamas that speaks to what we are doing in the House of Assembly. But too often, we neglect the views of the people and just do our own thing until the next 5 years when we come to ask them to vote for us again. Michael will be that type of leader.
Now, let me ask you a question, because I'm getting it on the text lines already. And, you know, we have Abaco chime in every Monday with Roscoe Thompson and other contributors, but I'm getting the text out of Abaco right now. Naughty, can you ask Mr. Hanfield if he plans to return to frontline politics under Mr. Pintard's ticket, if possible? That's coming from Abaco, and they're saying it live in the text from Abaco.
Yeah, this is coming from Abaco, and I get that question everywhere I walk around Abaco. I go to the food store, I go to a restaurant, anywhere I go on the bay, people ask me, you know. I'm prepared to serve the party in any way that I can to help the Free National Movement. I believe I still have something to offer, and I believe that we can help in some way or another. That's my answer.
Well, that's a very good answer, because that reeks of being a team player, regardless of whatever role you're in, you're going to serve well. And I know from you, you know, from your past that you obviously, you know, you will follow that line, and you are a team player when it comes to the FNM. So it's good to hear from you and get your, you know, opinion on everything. There's a couple of things that I do have to ask you, though. I mean, what do you think that the FNM, what kind of relief and improvement to Abaco do you think a Pintard-led FNM government could bring? Because, as you know, 2 years in, Abaco is still dealing with a lot of post-Dorian effects and a lot of effects with the removal of the Procurement Act and so on and so forth. They've got issues still down there.
We've got a lot of issues in Abaco. Just driving around the streets, for instance, let me just put this right here, though. We have come back in a way that is unthinkable for an island that has been struck with the worst storm in the modern history of the Bahamas. We've come back. And I think that's due to the spirit, the indomitable spirit and independence of the Abaconians. You know, for years, we have not really depended. Pre-1992, we had not depended on governments to do much for us, you know. But we work hard together to rebuild. And so even driving around the streets, we need a couple of street lights. You know, the one that used to have right there in Mars Harbor, in the center of Mars Harbor, if you're familiar with it, Naughty, we had the one street light there. The one makeshift street light that they put up since Dorian still sits there. Wow. Looked like a little thing that came out of a Cracker Jack box. You know, we put a lot of, Abaconians put a lot of money into the central fund. And we believe more of it should remain home here to help us build and grow. But the one thing we need to do immediately upon assuming office is build homes. Make available land for people who can build their own homes.
But let
make
me
available
ask-
government grants or something through some monetary fund that we need to develop and set up. Before we left office, before we were booted out of office, we had an agreement with a company named Passerine out of Baker's Bay Group, which had committed to building 50 homes free in central Abaco. Five of those homes were constructed, but when we were fired, they were not completed. And they still sit there just as they were on the 16th of September 2021. The roofs are on, the walls are up, no windows are in, and they're still sitting there. I don't know what the government intends to do with them, and I don't know what happened to the commitment from the people from Baker's Bay to help refurnish homes for those who lost their homes in the hurricane. But we're going to make land available more readily for Bahamians. We're going to make small business development easier for Bahamians. And places like Abaco and Grand Bahama, people can stand up small businesses and do well because the population is of a size that a business can have a reasonably good turnover. You know, we're going to make it easier for students to go to BTVI. I mean, I know we started a program here. I don't know where that program is now. But we need to be able to identify our students who are not going to be rocket scientists or doctors or lawyers and have them learn a trade. Be a mason, be a carpenter, be an electrician, be a plumber. These are the things that we needed post-Dorian, immediately in Abaco. These are some of the things that we're thinking about. We're going to put money in the Family Island Development Fund. This is the third year now, or second year that we've heard about this fund, and we've not heard anybody say how much money they put in this fund to help development of the Family Island. This is a very important thing. We're going to leave more money in these Family Islands where they collect it to help them lift up the infrastructure. Why you gotta always call the ministry works in here to patch holes, and you got local government. Let local government do its work. Leave them the facility, leave them the infrastructure in place that they can go and patch holes so we don't fall into the state of disrepair that we do over time. These are some of the things we're thinking about, Naughty.
Well, thank you for chiming in. And obviously, you're still on the ground very hard over in Abaco because you've spoken to some of the same issues that Roscoe and I speak of every Monday to this day, especially with lack of housing for doctors, nurses, teachers, firemen, policemen. And then you have this current administration bragging about the homes that are built in Abaco, but I don't see anybody being placed in the homes. Where are they?
Nobody in the homes that I know of in Abaco. If there are, they're very, very few. The government often talks about this rent-to-own thing. I'm looking for one so that I can see, because there's a model that we like. A rent-to-own model is something where someone who can pay perhaps a rent can pay the same amount in a mortgage and own their own home at the end of the day. And so there's been a lot of talk by this government, but there's nothing felt here on the ground in Abaco. We left in place in the DRE, monies that would be able to help people recover after the storm. Did we get everything right after the storm? No, we didn't. But, you know, there was no playbook for Dorian. We left 2,000, depending on the amount of your damage, 5,000, 7,000, up to 10,000 if you were completely destroyed to help you get back on your feet again. I don't know what's going on with that. People are calling me and asking me all the time, what's going on? Why can't we feel something from this government that you guys left in place? You know, it's just a lot to be done. It's a lot to be done, and we got to get this business of the convention behind us so we can get to showing the Bahamian people and explaining to them what kind of policies that we intend to change to enact to change their lives.
I think MJ has a question for you, Mr. Henfield, and then we'll get to wrap things up because I know you're busy. MJ, you have one from Mr. Henfield?
Yes. Good afternoon, Senator Henfield. I'm just curious because I know that a lot of focus right now is on this weekend's convention, and, you know, it's going to be a spirited competition, I'm sure. Are you happy with the preparations for the convention, which you've seen so far? And what do you anticipate is going to be the party's focus after this weekend's convention?
I'll answer the last question first. I think the party's focus is going to have to be galvanizing the Free National Movement all across the country. Finding a way for us to coalesce and prepare to become the next government of the Bahamas. I think we're doing all that we can to ready ourselves for convention. Of course, you know, it was done in very limited time. And people have a lot of stuff to prepare. But I think that from what I'm witnessing in the campaigns, my phone is lit every day with people sending their posters, sending their requests for support. And so I think it's going quite well. I think the convention is going quite well. I'm pleased with the preparation thus far. And I think we're going to have a wonderful event on Saturday at Bahama.
Well, thank you very much for chiming in. Greatly appreciate your time because I know you're busy down there. Regards to the family, Senator Henfield. And, of course, you know when you're back in town and you got more than 5 minutes, you owe me one.
I owe you one, Naughty. I owe you one. And I'm honored to be on the show, man. I listen to it every evening.
Well,
I can't participate in the sports segment anymore. like I used to, but I listen very, very attentively to your show. Congratulations on a great show.
Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it, man. All the best. Be safe, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, man. Thanks. Take care.
All right. Let's get to our other guest. We'll go right to the other phone line. Mr. Producer, I think you want to double check that line right there for me. And what we'll do right now is we'll take a quick break. And on the flip side of the break, we'll have our other special guest today, wrapping things up from previous show because we had so much going on. We'll be touching base one more again with Miss Arinthia Komolafi on the flip side of the break. So keep it right here where you got it. The Wednesday, May 29th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Et puis, chita, s'il vous plaît, y'a prélé pour radiographie. Tale. C'est ça qui fait rele Saltan. Ou pas gen problème dans Fortress Diagnostic Center, image at Grosvenor's, nous pas jamais faire plusieurs rendez-vous résultats. Ça veut dire entrer, sortir. Si test depuis stage ou montrer écran, radiologue nous, car qu'on dit alternatif test dépitage ça. Kounya la même. Ou bien, relez-nous dans 328-81-57 pour faire rendez-vous à Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, image à Grosvenor, ou bien relez-nous dans 328-81-57 faire rendez-vous à Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, image à Grosvenor, ou bien visitez location nous, Kamakelod, Chaudia.
FNMs, Bahamians, the Free National Movement will hold its 2024 convention Saturday, June 1st, under the theme Forward Stronger at the Bahamar Resort. Beginning at 8 p.m., an informative and inspirational evening session will be held, where party leadership and other dynamic speakers will address the Bahamian people on the FNM platform and matters of national importance. Free National Movement 2024 Convention, Saturday, June 1st. You don't want to miss it.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your cheetah sandwich now at kfcnassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Refined style with elegant taste. Then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great? Then fine threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste. Then fine threads is your place. Is your place. Is your place.
Are you tired of the hustle and bustle of city life, yearning for a relaxing getaway without headaches of international travel? Well, we've got just the thing for you. Escape to paradise without leaving home with our limited time to fly free offer for Bahamas residents. Whether you're craving adventure, seeking to reconnect with your roots, or simply yearning to unwind in secluded shores, the Family Islands has something for everyone. But you better act fast, because this incredible two-fly free offer is only available until June 30th. Don't let this opportunity slip away. So why wait? Book your trip today. Escape the ordinary, discover the extraordinary, and experience the magic of the Family Islands. Visit BahamasResidence.com for more information and start planning your ultimate island getaway today. Whoa, my islands.
We're back at you on the Wednesday, May 29th edition of Talking Heads. All right. And then, excuse me. Wow. Got a little choked up on that one. Yeah, but now back at you. You're truly not alone with Mary Jane and your company right up until 6 p.m. Right now, let's go to our special guest. Zoom in right now. We had her on earlier. We had her on last week. And we had a great interview. But in the greatness of the interview, I forgot to ask a specific question. So we got her back today. Glad to have Ms. Rinthia Komolafi back today. And we got a couple other questions for her as well, too. So welcome back. Glad to hear from you. How goes it? Do we have Ms. Komolafi?
Hi, good afternoon. Hi, Naughty. MJ.
Hi, good afternoon.
Now, before we get into the
good
questions.
Good to be here again.
Glenn, glad to have you back. Now, before we get into the other stuff, I got to ask you two questions, because I know you're a sports aficionado. That's some good NBA finals. Conference championships was been on, eh? Boston moving to the finals.
Yeah,
got
some very, very good ones.
I tell you.
I thought the Wolves would put us out of our misery and just get the sweep, but, Anthony Edwards said he didn't want to be swept. He doesn't want that on his record. So I respect him. I respect him.
I like that kid, man. When there's a draw, I'm an Anthony Edwards fan. I like his bravado. I like his moxie, and I like how he plays, man. He's a good young kid. Good stuff right there. He's definitely one of the faces of the league moving forward.
Certainly. Another year for them. Another year for them. But I just think that experience of Kyrie Irving helping to mature Luka Doncic, especially over this past season. And with Luka already going for a couple of seasons ago with Jalen Brunson, you know, he has that experience as well. So it just seems like the momentum is behind the Dallas Mavericks this season.
A lot of momentum there for sure. A lot of momentum. I think Dallas could be a good team for years to come, too. They're young, they're talented, they got good management and good coaching. Speaking of young and talented and potentially with good management and good coaching, we got the F&M convention coming up. I know MJ's got a few questions for you as well in relation to that.
Of course. We wanted to find out from you because, of course, your convention is coming this weekend. Everyone seems to be excited about it. We just spoke with Senator Hanfield. He seems to like the preparation. I think the narrative that we're hearing out of most F&Ms, particularly the ones that have been guests on the show, is that everybody's hoping that after this weekend, you know, you guys can coalesce. I think that's the word that is being used and come together and prepare, you know, to move in whatever direction the party is going to go in after the convention. The first question I have for you, though, is in terms of the leadership race. Can you tell us on the record now, you know, who it is that you are going to support in the leadership race? Will it be the former Prime Minister, Dr. Hubert Minnis, or will you give your support to the current leader of the Free National Movement, Mr. Michael Pintard?
Yes, absolutely. And just to piggyback off of that, I think that is certainly, and I agree with Mr. Hemphill when he said that one of the first things that has to be done is to move forward with galvanizing the base and getting them together. And I think this convention has been a very good stepping stone toward that. And I think things will only get stronger and better coming out of June 1. From my perspective, certainly I'm putting my support, my 100% support behind Mr. Michael Pintard as the leader of the Free National Movement and to continue on as the leader of the Free National Movement post-June 1. I think I would have said it before, and I've been saying it in several different circles, that persons know that I served as the former leader of the Democratic National Alliance. And in December of 2021, I gave my notice and intention to resign as the leader of the party, not just from the Democratic National Alliance, but also from third-party politics. And during that time, I indicated the fact that I was not leaving frontline politics, but that I would be seeking to join one of the major political parties so I can continue my quest to helping to bring about a better Bahamas through one of those vehicles. And during the time when I was moving forward with that press conference and fielding questions from members of the media, I was advised by my team in the middle of those questions that the leader of the opposition, which is Michael Pintard, was on the phone, and he was giving his regards to me and extending an olive branch and giving me thanks for my service thus far in politics. on behalf of the Bahamian people, and was also given an opportunity to collaborate and to do things together as both Bahamians in public service looking to bring about a better Bahamas. And so I think it was from that point that the seed was sown, that I was looking forward to perhaps transition on to the Free National Movement. And that was certainly a pivotal moment in my decision to be able to, mark my ex, so to speak, with the Free National Movement.
So let me ask you this question. What is it that you see in, or, you know, would have witnessed these, past months that you have been a part of the Free National Movement? What is it that you would have seen in Mr. Pintard's leadership that has brought you to the conclusion that he would be, at this time, the better fit for leadership of the party?
Well, first of all, I think he's had a challenging time in his leadership for the past 2.5 years. And anyone who has been in leadership understands the challenges of having to be able to manage a lot of challenges and adversity within your own organization, and being distracted from the main goal, which is to, in his particular instance, to fight the opposition party. So that is certainly something I could have identified with, having faced challenges myself, serving as the leader of the Democratic National Alliance. And so I know his journey has not really been the best, and we have not been able to see the best from him without having the distractions that he's been subjected to over the last 2.5 years. But even with that, I feel that he has been very, very strong in being able to carry out his role as the leader of the official opposition. And I think over and above that, I think that Mr. Pintard is relatable. When you hear him tell his story and the fact that he was a young boy who was growing up in the Yellow Elder community, and he wasn't this book A student boy who was getting top grades and, you know, being the poster child for what a good student was. He was actually an errand child. And he speaks about the fact that he turned his life around and he came about to be one of the more popular and well-known and established creatives within our society. And he also went on to be an even stronger and better politician. And I think what I like about his journey is the fact that when you think about his political journey, and I had my first interaction with Michael Pintard when I was in high school at C.R. Walker. And from then, he was in the community, reaching out to young people, speaking to young people, and sharing his talent. But what I liked about his political journey was the fact that when you think about the fact that he had to run against political juggernauts on the opposing parties. You know, he went up against top guys, you know, guys who, you know, right off the top, you put him inside that race, he's not going to win because these were gentlemen of stature. But yet he continued to stay the course, and it demonstrated that he was a fighter and that he was committed to public service and working for and on behalf of the Bahamian people. And when you look at his political resume and how he was able to come up through the Free National Movement, working through the through the youth arm, rising to become a senator, rising to become the national chairman, and then after a devastating defeat in 2021 to become the leader of the party, and you see the leadership that he's been able to execute even in the midst of the adversity that he's faced, it shows that this is the leader who is able to be able to take on the challenges that we face as a nation. Now, his first task is going to be to continue his journey to unify his party. And I think that they will be well moving forward with that post-June 1. But this is also a good testament to the fact that he will be able to move forward in the country and be able to unify the country, because a lot of persons may or may not believe it, but the country itself has been divided for several years. You know, persons will say, we have a yellow country, we have a red country, and that's why we've been back and forth on this pendulum. But I think it's mostly because the Bahamian people have been looking for leadership. And these challenges that Mr. Pintard has faced over the last 2.5 years has certainly put him in the position to be battle-tested, to be battle-ready, to be able to take on the big goal, which is the opposing party, the current governing party right now, the Davis administration, and to be able to lay hold and lay reins of the government again on behalf of the Free National Movement, and hopefully MJ and Naughty to be able to bring about this vision that seems elusive to the Bahamian people. The Bahamian people are seeking leadership, and that is what we are looking for all across the archipelago, somebody who's going to stand in the gap, somebody who is going to take these ideas, which everybody has. We've been hearing these ideas for years, for decades, but we have just not had the individual to be able to bring about, to have the political will to bring about this change that we need. And I think having seen the resilience that Michael Pintat had over the last 2.5 years, I believe that he stands poised and ready to be able to take on that challenge and to be able to bring about this vision and to help others achieve what he has achieved, which is the Bahamian dream. Like I said, this relatable story, being a young boy in Yellow Elder, getting involved in activity and behaviors he shouldn't be able to get, he shouldn't be getting involved in, but to turn himself around and to be able to become a leader in our community and to give his life over to public service and to advance a vision for more Bahamians to be able to achieve the Bahamian dream.
Thank you so much, Madam Komolapi. I think that the endorsements from Mr. Pintat, apparently they just keep climbing, and what a great endorsement he's gotten from you today. Let me just ask you this. You touched on it a little bit. I'll ask you the same question that I asked Senator Henfield, which is that what can the Bahamian public expect to see, in your opinion, from the Free National Movement after June 1st? What can we look forward to?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I think I don't want to preempt the leadership in that regard. But if I had to guess, just based on the fact that I understand that they understand where we are and what needs to be done to move forward to the general election, I think you will be seeing certainly a more rallied up base and a leader that's going to be galvanizing his team and presenting his team to the Bahamian public and also advancing the policies and the visions and the platform that the FNM hopes to implement when they are returned to office at the next general election, and to continue to hold the current administration's feet to the fire. I mean, you cannot take your foot off the gas. As a matter of fact, I think you have to press and accelerate more. And so I think you're going to see a doubling down on that. And certainly you're going to see, you know, more persons coming on board. And I think you'll definitely see the fire. Pun intended.
All right. Well, thank you so much for, you know, taking time out to speak with us today. We were very happy to have you. We're always happy to have you. Of course, you know, you're a friend to the show. So, yeah, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Thank
again.
You. I always appreciate this. Thank you.
And obviously, you know, post-convention, post-June 2nd, we'll have you on again. All right?
Yes, absolutely.
But
thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us, man. I greatly appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime. Thanks.
Thanks so much. All right, Mr. Producer, let's get to these phone calls. MJ, but the show rolling today. We got calls galore. Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
How you doing?
What's happening?
All right, I was trying to catch her before she go. This is Kurt. I'm a gentleman who called in and put the question together. Remember when the PLD government in the beginning of their term said that the vote basket was only going to be for 2 years.
I mean to laugh, but Lord knows I mean to laugh. But you know when you see a BS, right? And you hear it initially, and then you know it's BS, and it could be BS later. You have to laugh sometimes before you got to deal with it. So don't forgive me for not laughing. I'm not making fun of it or not taking it serious. But if I don't laugh, I can say a joke as wild word, if you understand what I'm saying.
I understand, bro. I'm trying to find the documentation for it. But I know I remember that recording because I programmed that in my brain. They said I will remember this after 2 years because we were raising hell about fat beer on breast basket items when they re-implemented when they came into the office. They said it's only going to be for 2 years. Are you okay? I can remember this.
Yeah, no. I'm looking for an article right now, but they did say that it would only be on bread basket items for 2 years.
Yes, but it's been almost 3 years now. You see anything changed? As a matter of fact, I think if I call, I think I might have seen something that said it might have gone up to 12% again. Something like that. Anyhow, I'm starting to be corrected.
No. Yeah, but I appreciate the call, man.
All right.
Talking Heads. Let's get to the next one. Talking Heads.
Hi, Nori. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay. You know what the caller said just now? I thought only me one was thinking that, you know. Boy, this is a serious thing now. I want to see the car. I mean, I don't normally watch the budget, right?
And again, I laughing at you. You know, if I don't laugh, I can say something I'm supposed to say on radio.
I wanted to catch Chivago Lang show because I wanted to ask him the same thing. And here it is, the gentleman just come up with that question. Because when you do a budget report, I mean, who is the budget report for?
I'm, you know, and why are you looking at the VOD? I can't tell you whether, like, I was a little distracted by the new duty-free items, you know, because I never knew there was such a need for fire extinguishers, digital camera pods, drones, laundry detergents in the form of paper sheets. So that's your, what you put in your dryer, that's your dryer sheets.
I don't know.
And sea moss for health benefits. My God.
And I'm beginning to question, who's the budget report for? Is it for us, the small, poor man, or is it for who? Who's supposed to benefit and gain from it?
Well, it ain't really for us. I guess they just giving us something to say, here, you all want to hear what we say about the budget? Here, hold on that.
I get so excited, you know, I see all this parading downtown and I was like, sitting on, looking forward to something, you know what I mean?
Maybe.
But it's still too late. I hope they could still come back and say, you know, we missed some stuff. Let's take that off of medication.
Yeah.
That's for me.
See, but the problem is, you're looking at the VAT, and you're looking at other things too much, and you haven't focused on the fact that this administration has attracted and developed more than $7.2 billion in investments, representing more than 700 new jobs for Bahamians since they entered office. So now they're basically saying, because they did that, we could afford the VAT on the bread basket items.
You know what I mean? Because the poor people are downtrodden. They have to come out on top for once in their life, man. They wonder why people keep walking out instead of walking in.
But we are the conk. Because we keep...
You have to live, you know?
We keep replacing, but we got to look for now is to put someone in there in administration that is actually going to look to change the political landscape and be beneficial to Bahamians first.
Well, maybe I get it wrong because I'm not too familiar with the budget. I don't understand it too clearly. But I know there was some stuff I was looking forward to hear, and I ain't hear it. So,
you and me and thousands of other Bahamians.
So if you could break it down more clearly for me, I'd appreciate that.
All right. We can make it happen. Appreciate you calling and appreciate you listening. Let's get to the other calls. Talking Heads. Talking Heads. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, this is Naughty. So this is what I have to say, and I find this to be very concerning. So between the two leaders for the FNM, I know Michael Quintard's economic position, and it's one of a free trade, de-government regulation, right? The problem now, I could put questions to him. I could analyze his positions. I could make predictions on what he is more likely to do. And the question I'll put to him is, how was his social economical disposition? Because a laissez-faire capitalistic system tends to eat away and erode the social landscape of most of the nations that it is being implemented in. So I would like to see how we would implement such a system. Now, on the opposite hand, I don't know Hubert Minnis' positions on nothing. I don't know his economic position. I don't know how to measure his policy creation. So in my mind, I like to equate it to what I call Jesus Christ politics. Like, when you don't have no answer, then they just say, hey, Jesus can fix it.
Well, see, I can give you testimonials. See, I can be like a preacher now. I can let you know that you can get your testimonial on Friday, because my special guest will be Mr. Michael Pintard on Friday, right here on Talking Heads.
Okay, well, so I will be waiting, but...
And have that question lined up, because no better person to answer that than him. Better him to answer than me.
Right, because I'm making a statement and I'll tune in on Friday. And then furthermore, I went to Nassau Stationers, and I looked inside that station. A young lady was helping me find a book. And you know that in that building that is selling books, there is not one book on a Bahamian historical figure, male or female, or of any person from the African diaspora and their story for people, young people, to immerse themselves in. And let me show you where these things tie in. Because this young lady went to Queen's College. And I asked her to name one person, this 2024, one Bahamian woman that gave her the opportunity with their sacrifices for her to be able to pursue liberty, happiness, and to be the type of person she wants to be in the Bahamas. She couldn't name one. Led me to ask the next question. Who are you? And you know what she told me? Naughty, she told me that isn't a question she could answer.
All right.
See,
but that
my point. Hold on, Naughty.
I need you to get to the point because I got other callers.
I can get to the point. Yeah, sorry. I can get to the point. My point is that the politics we are playing, that we continue to play, we still missing the mark by 100 meters in a country where the literature, the economic position, we don't have to disclose anything about who we are, none of these candidates. And please ask final doctor, what is Dr. Minister's economic disposition on leading our country?
Thank you. All right. Let's get to the other calls. Talking Heads. Talking Heads.
We don't hate you. You're just naughty by nature.
Hey, what's good, GNN? Make it quick for me, my brother.
Yeah, I'm on the day to you again. I'm still a little baffled as to how she land, where she land. But, you know, she was my dear leader one time ago. But the sad thing about it is, naughty, in 51 years, as good as Pintado Pine, and he sounds, I don't think if he's successful, he's going to make any difference. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, man, GNN. Let's get to the other call. Talking Heads. Talking Heads.
Yes, Naughty, how you doing? C. Allen Johnson.
Hey, what's going on, C. Allen? All right, listen. Do me a favor. We're going to let this go over a couple minutes into the 5 o'clock, so I need you to call me back because I know we're going to get a solid call out of you. So hit me back right after the news so we can get a call in, all right? Solid. Now, MJ, I know you had a couple of points you wanted to raise. So I definitely want to get those in before we get to the news at 5 o'clock. We got a couple of minutes left.
No, I was just listening to your last caller, and it kind of shocked me when he made the statement that he spoke to a young woman who couldn't name any woman that, you know, assisted her.
I find that hard to believe, but
it's kind of sad that, you know, is still happening for some people in our society. But, of course, my personal experience, and I think the experience of the majority of young Bahamian women and girls in the country would be that they do have mothers, aunts, sisters, teachers, you know, co-workers, colleagues that they have been able to lean on and to look up to. So in politics, it may seem a little bit different, but I think in everyday life in the Bahamas, there's so many wonderful and smart women that we all can look up to. And I think that it's going to only continue to grow as we go on.
And like I say, we definitely have to look at that, though, to make sure moving forward that we do revisit what we have in the schools so that these kids know coming up exactly who were the contributors to this country. And there are, like you said, there are many women that shed blood, sweat, and tears for us to be where we're at.
The list is so long.
My phone
the fact that anyone might be in the gap and not realize, you know, the rich history and the rich contributions that Bahamian women have made to this country is a little bit sad. But, of course, it's just a learning opportunity and something that, you know, as we move forward, we continue to educate to the best of our ability.
All right, I got a couple of texts we got to squeeze in here before we get to the news. Naughty and MJ, I've never seen such PLP interest in F&M business. Obviously, they are nervous at the prospect of a united party under the leadership of Michael Pintard. PLP operatives have been openly and covertly campaigning for the return of Dr. Minnis. Everyone sees the wolf in sheep clothing. They are not serious. They're pretending to be nationalists under the guise of Nation First. They know that if Minnis is to return as leader, the PLP is guaranteed a second term. But we've been saying that for a minute here on the show. But yeah, that's the general consensus. I think people are looking forward to having, you know, this out of the way and a unified F&M moving forward. Because obviously, go ahead.
And I think for the PLP's credit too, I mean, there was a big budget communication in the House today. Of course, that's going to be picked up next week, Wednesday. So once you get past the convention this weekend, then there's definitely going to be a lot more focus on the budget. We'll get to hear what, you know, other members of parliament have to say about it, other intellectuals in society have to say about it. Of course, the opposition will give their opinions on some of the things that we heard mentioned today, and we'll be able to, you know, for lack of a better term, pick through it and see exactly what's going to happen, what we can expect, you know, moving forward. So, yeah, of course, the juicy thing is the convention this weekend. But right after that, then it's, you know, everybody focusing on country again as a whole and seeing, you know, if we're going in the right direction or if we need to make some adjustments and make them quickly.
Okay, I got one here from, I don't know if this is Purdy. I don't know if this Mystery Dolphin. I don't know who this is. But obviously, you know, this is a real smart aleck here. Naughty and MJ, really enjoyed the show. Glad to hear MJ, you know, on a regular. Listen, MJ, can you do me a favor? By Friday, when you and Naughty come back on, can you have a breakdown of the budget, please? I know from listening to you, you're better with numbers than Naughty. He's a cowboy fan, that says it all. Listen here, don't make me curse you. Why did I just throw my Cowboys in there, Dan? Why? Anyway, go ahead, MJ.
We got some numbers today. Obviously, we'll go deeper into the budget when we get the specifics next week. But that was the thing that I thought was missing on some of the items that were mentioned, the specificity. So hopefully that comes. I mean, there are some things that we can talk about, but maybe we'll do that after the break. A couple of things we can talk about.
Okay, we're going to pick up after the break. We'll talk about that, and we got C. Allen chiming in, so we'll do that, and then we'll get into the sports. So we'll take that break now, and on the flip side of the break, we'll be back with the May 29th edition of Talking Heads right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Naughty and MJ with you right after the break. Keep it right where you got it.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Hello, my FNM family. My name is Rona Paul, and I currently serve as a youth representative for the FNM Central and South Abaco Association. It is with immense joy and pleasure that I endorse Mr. Michael C. Pintard as he seeks to be re-elected as our party's leader. Mr. Pintard epitomizes the words of John C. Maxwell. A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. Throughout Mr. Pintard's stellar leadership, he has proven to be a man that places service above self. He is a man who dares to stand tall in the face of challenges, and his resiliency must be commended. He embodies all the necessary elements needed for excellent leadership. Moreover, he is the right man for the job.
Yes, yes, I work him with Pintar, cause he work him with me. Boy, only work him with Pintar, cause he work him with
me. Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamian's voice guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them mother jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Join us on a day of giving and hope. The Guardian Media Group and Sister Cancer Support Group are teaming up for a special Dollar Day Drive. Come down to the Nassau Guardian on May 31st from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Your contributions will make a huge difference. Every dollar counts in the fight against cancer. And together, we can help support those in need. Be a part of something bigger. Be the change. Donate a dollar and change a life.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your cheetah sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
They say the sun and it shines for all, but in some people's world, it never shines at all.
These rows of flames are catching a fire. Ah.
No, 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 no.
back at you on the Wednesday, May 29th edition of Talking Heads. Ronnie and Mary Jane and your company right after 6 p.m. Purdy will be zooming in short order to chop it up and talk sport. Let's go to the phone line. Is that C. Allen called back? So let's go to the phone. MJ, we got C. Allen on the line. Talking Heads.
Hi, MJ.
Good afternoon, C. Allen.
Yes, just let me just say, you know, for people who have to guess what is going to happen after June 1st when Michael Pintard crosses over that victory line, he'll make arrangements to honor the most honorable Hubert Alexander Minnis for the service he's given to the country and to the party. But most importantly, I don't have to guess, Mr. Pintard will move to quickly rebuild the party, to bring in all of those people who've been disenfranchised, going all the way back to, 2016 or even from 2012. But what's most important, though, is a clear and concise plan will be laid out for a new and better Bahamas, one of inclusivity, something that has not happened, a reinstatement of the ownership economy for Gen Zs, Gen Ys, Gen Xs, and whoever else is in the country. It'll be not one where an individual creates the direction the country should go, but one of collaboration, the same position he's taken from the day he's taken over, leader of opposition, collaboration, the collective intelligence of all Bahamians, then none will be left behind. We are in a new dispensation of governance, not just here, but around the world. Economies are accelerating. We are still doing the same thing. Just listen to this carefully, and MJ, you like this. Oftentimes, you hear people on the radio talking about, oh, look at China's in the future. Japan, they are in the future. Singapore, Hong Kong, they're in the future. Right. My question to you, if you catch a flight to any of those cities right now, will you arrive in the future or will you still be in the present?
I think there is a famous quote. I want to say it was author Philip K. Dick. I may be attributing it to the wrong person, but the quote goes that the future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed. So you tell me.
Well, let me just interject. Are we taking the Greenwich Meridian and time zones into effect here?
Our future and their future is two different futures.
Because remember, I came back on a flight from Vegas one time, and I could have sworn I was in the future. But maybe that
But they're looking at those technologies. See, the point is those things aren't, they're not looking to the future. You're looking at countries that have embraced the present. The problem is that we have leadership that is cemented in the past and denies us the future. Michael Pintard provides us the opportunity to have individuals such as myself, such as my wife as a Gen Z, and a whole host of my football team in the U.S. that was born with a laptop and computers in their lap from the 1980s. So they are digital citizens. They're like fish. They don't even know what it is to be out of water. And so the diaspora and other people are looking to build the Bahamas. There's access to tools. Mr. Philip Davis talked about this wall that he has to tear down. But the wall he's talking about doesn't exist in the digital reality we are now. Because these tools are accessible. FinTech and all these other different things are available. We just have to simply adjust the laws and policies to give Bahamians equity, just like foreigners who come into our country, to build and own our countries. But just let me make one other point. So there's no idea. The biggest pain that's coming is going to be for the Progressive Liberal Party, who simply has mastered marketing. We don't need a marketing. We need leadership. We need tangible ideas that can benefit people. You know, I listened to the budget debate. There's nothing but building people in there, about having us build a country. There's marketing of doing things. But for those... One person, let me address, because I didn't get a chance to respond on another show here, to Erica. Erica wants to do a comparative of Dr. Minnis and Mr. Pintard. West End, Grand Bahama, Abaco. A former sitting prime minister, a institutional FNM seat, for you can't argue about it, right? What happened? It was lost. For every ounce you bring for Minnis, for Pintard, I can give you a pound for Minnis. You talk about about governance. Minnis was given one of the greatest victories, 35-4. He was wiped out afterwards. The party came as a cohesive after him. They didn't show up to the election. The comparison concerning Dorian and COVID, those performances shows leadership ability. Look at the endorsement. Here it is that you have a cabinet, one of the biggest there was, and your cabinet is now standing, saying there now needs to be a new form of leadership. And so these are things that, you know, you could begin to, you know, like look, like you say, if you want to look at the Hope Diamond under microscope, you will find cracks. It doesn't diminish the value. And so I'm simply saying is that we must now prepare from June 2nd to listen with open minds, to prepare ourselves to participate in the shaping of the policies and the laws and legislation. I already got my list of 30 laws to move us into the 30 laws that need to be created or modified. I'm ready. But I just need a leadership.
We are quite sure that you are, you know, you have so many great ideas. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
I just need to say this. Persons like myself just need leadership to listen, to understand that he or she represents the collective intelligence. It'll be a he that represents the collective intelligence. And all of us will be around the table, even if it's not in the room. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Yalen. Great contributions as always, man.
Thank you,
Andre, we got one more call, and then we can chop it up some, because I know you want to talk about it, and I want to talk about it. Talking heads. Talking heads. All right. I guess they'll call us back. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at some of these texts, man, and I just am scratching my head. I think the biggest thing right now is fire extinguishers, MJ. That's the talk of the town right now.
That's what everyone's talking about.
Everybody getting off fire extinguishers. Everybody.
I realize they presented a problem before in terms of the duty, but yeah, duty free. I could see it. The thing that I saw a lot of people talking about was the detergent sheets. And I actually had to look that up because I didn't even know what a detergent sheet was. Apparently, it's a kind of an eco-friendly, I guess, climate-friendly thing. Detergent sheets.
I saw this meme, and I'll send it to you now. But Bahamians, we have zero chill, okay? Picture of the PM holding a fire extinguisher while bushes are burning in the background and says, "Hold this while I finish burn down the rest of the nation."
No, that is so wrong. But what were your thoughts on the budget communication today, Naughty? What did you think about it?
From what I glanced, MJ, I had to tell myself I need to have a nightcap when I get from Joker's and have me, you know, a nice glass of Jack Daniels and sit down and just let that numb me as I read it and take it in full 100, because they lost me with some things that I saw on there, honestly.
I think as we get more information, like I said, as we move, into more of the details, you know, people could form true opinions on how they feel. Generally speaking, so far, I haven't seen a lot of really negative responses, but then I haven't seen the enthusiasm that I'm sure the Prime Minister was hoping for when he delivered. That was a very long address. Let me just say that. That was 2.5 hours exceeding.
When I saw him come up in the house today with that big pile of paper in front of him, I said, this could be long. Look at that speech. Look at that.
I stuck with him all the way through. I listened to it. And there were a couple of things that kind of stood out to me. Some of the things that I thought he mentioned in his communication today was he said that, you know, the budget projects, a fiscal deficit of $69.8 million, or 0.5% of GDP, which does show that, you know, there is some sort of a commitment to reducing the national debt. I thought the increase in revenue, the total revenues for 2024 or 2025 is estimated at $3.54 billion, and that does show, you know, some efforts at economic growth, so that was a good thing. The employment growth. Now, honestly, I was like, boy, I ain't sure about these numbers. But apparently, unemployment right now is down to 8.8%, which is being touted as the lowest since 2008. And that is really low. I mean, I trust they have all of the stats they need for those.
I got to break out.
But that seems lower than what I would have thought it would be at this point.
I got to break out the houseway on that. Houseway? How?
That is good. Some of the things that I thought were bad, you know, despite the improved revenue collection, there should still be some concerns about the underperformance of VAT and the real estate, you know, the real estate transactions in particular. Obviously, this tells us that we have to have some sort of stricter enforcement measures. Persons who didn't get their documents stamped, they now have a bit of a moratorium. So that in itself is good. I'm sure some people would appreciate that, you know, paying the rates at the time that they would have purchased the properties and not had it stamped then. So that's not bad. But the lack of diversification, I was listening to hear something that would be like really transformative. I didn't hear that. A lot of it is still based on tourism. And that means that we're going to still be susceptible to all of the external shocks and the natural disasters. So that's not good. Plus, another thing I thought was pretty bad, because the prime minister, in my opinion, has put climate change and all of the climate policies that he has pursued so vigorously as one of the things that are going to be like legacy determinant. And I haven't seen a lot of movement on that. There was some mention about the carbon credits, but still nothing big to announce after, you know, so many trips and so much effort. We still don't have anything big on that front. Perhaps that will come in the future. We'll wait and hear if we have that. Now, a couple of things that I thought were just downright ugly in the budget is that, you know, there wasn't a lot addressed in terms of inflation and cost of living. That is the thing that's killing Bahamians right now. You know, Bahamian families are suffering.
I think that's
hard.
What's going on a lot of people.
With the cost of living.
You know,
and I just didn't hear enough on that front.
Continues on breadbasket items. They said they were going to lift after 2 years.
And the medicine.
Medication, you know, lots of medication. But now, you don't have any taxes. You have duty-free on fire extinguishers, digital camera pods, drones, laundry detergents in the form of paper sheets, and CMOS.
That ties into the social inequality. And our prime minister, you know, he was a part of the administration when that was originally introduced to the country. One of the things they used to stress back then was the safety net. I don't see a lot being put towards the safety net. We know that social services never gets enough.
And
you
remember
that national insurance is in trouble. So, you know, I mean, there are some opportunities to make some headway and to make sure that the persons that are most vulnerable in society are taken care of. But I just didn't hear it. Maybe, like I said, we'll get more details.
And you know,
the
irony of all this, MJ, is this is the same administration that went in opposition, had so much to say about the Minnis administration taking, you know, duty and VAT off of caviar, bull semen, airplane parts. And now they turn around today and here we are. I never knew we needed, you know, duty off of digital cameras. I never knew there's such a demand for digital cameras.
And, yeah, no, I know it's a strange one, but, you know, you never know how these decisions come to, but we trust that there's a reason why that's the focus. I just don't know what it is right now. Maybe they'll expand on that. Another thing that I think is pretty ugly is just the public debt levels. You know, while the debt to GDP ratio has improved, the total of the government debt remains high at $11.5 billion. This poses, you know, some long-term fiscal challenges for the country, and we can't gloss over that. That's going to be something that, you know, even though we're making improvements, we're going to see some transformative stuff, you know, that'll give us more relief, I guess, a little bit faster. And I guess the last thing I'll say on it until we get more details next week is that I was a little bit disappointed. I want to hear more about what's happening with education. There was always this talk in previous budgets by this administration about how they're going to close that gap, that learning gap that was created by the pandemic. Nothing in today's address kind of, you know, gave me details on that. Like I said, the specificity wasn't there. So hopefully we'll hear more about that. As far as digital entrepreneurship expansion, that was something that they talked about in previous budgets before. And I didn't see any follow-up on that in today's communication. And even though we haven't seen anything in that sector like we would hope for. And then finally, I think Grand Bahama, there were a lot of promises made in the by-election. And this obviously isn't the budget to deal with that. There was some mention about the poor and that 350-something odd million that they're anticipating they get out of the port, I guess, eventually. But as for West End, a lot of things were promised in West End, as were a lot of things promised in the Family Islands, and I just didn't see. Like I said, maybe we'll get some more details next week. I just didn't see where you know, that those things are going to become reality, not this time around.
All right, MJ, I got a couple of texts. We got a couple of calls on the line as well, too, but let me get to this text. Norty, unemployment is down because they don't count the 60,000 people no longer actively looking for work as per international rules. They aren't looking because nothing is there for them or their skills. Note, the workforce is down from 230,000 to 160,000 to 180,000. Where did all of those people go? Did they leave the Bahamas? The fluke of employment stats. What about the 5,000 students per year that have left school since Dorian and COVID?
Yeah, like I said, I'm sure they have some justification. And, you know, if it's 8.8%, I mean, wow, and wonderful. But I'm a little bit skeptical on that. So hopefully we get more details just to bring clarity to everyone.
Texter chimes in, Naughty, that whole entire budget is voodoo numbers. That was it. All right, let's get to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm Naughty. How you doing?
I'm good. MJ's here too, Anton.
Oh, yeah. Good
afternoon. Good
afternoon. How are you?
Anton.
Okay. Hello?
Yep, we're here.
Okay, good. Y'all can hear me clearly?
Yeah, Anton, go ahead.
Y'all sound a little low on my side. Okay, and good afternoon to the nation. Listen, I just tuned in not too long ago, but there's an extensive list of items that the government has either reduced duty on or done away with duty entirely. And it's across a wide spectrum of needs for persons in the society, including the energy sector, including the orange economy, including tourism, including just various needs for health care and
healthcare, but isn't that still on medicine? So how could it be on healthcare?
Thanks. Well, there are other components that make up healthcare outside of medicine, as you very well know.
But wouldn't the daily dosages and daily medications and prescriptions that people need be more beneficial than maybe big surgery or long-term healthcare if something happens to them? Because there's no guarantee something long-term or
an illness. The Minister of Health, Dr. Davos, has laid out the plan in Parliament as it relates to, and you know,
that's why people are asking the questions, because Dr. Dobble laid out the plan. That's why we got to ask them questions.
I understand. As you know, Naughty, the government is well underway with securing financing at a 2%, an extremely low 2% rate, in order to finance a new specialized hospital in the West, right? And once that happens, Naughty, persons are complaining, why not a brand new hospital? But once that happens, that will free up hundreds of bed space, which will allow for the expansion of the current services at our current PMH, as they also undergo upgrade and maintenance and refurbishment, et cetera, et cetera. And so there are many plans in the way for the hospital on Grand Bahama, for the hospital here in the capital, on Abaco, and a complete refurbishment of all of the clinical facilities throughout the entire country.
Okay, Anton, let's be fair. The hospital conversation is one conversation. Trying to tie it into the budget now to make a point.
There's
glaring things that we need to talk.
This is a good point about the hospital. Anton, I wonder, I didn't hear enough today about, you know, the expansion of health facilities in the Family Islands. Of course, we know that there's going to be some stuff done here, a hospital in New Providence. We know what's happening in Grand Bahama as well. But what about the other Family Islands? What is your take on what was presented in terms of that in the budget today, the budget communication?
Today, MJ, was only the budget communication. As far as the details, that will happen in 2 weeks.
Next week?
In 2 weeks when Parliament reconvenes, they will get into the various heads and all of the details will then begin to come out. But as it relates to the question, That's already on the record. That's what I was telling Naughty. Dr. Davila has already communicated extensively.
And like I told you, anything that that man says, I have to double and triple my check because of his days as minister in Grand Bahama to now. Okay?
I always double check him.
If not for anything else, for the memory of Kenny's double, I will double check Davila.
I'm Naughty. That's fine. That's fine. You can double check.
I can't hear you,
MJ. Naughty was talking. I wasn't able to keep up with what you were trying to say. Could you say it again?
No, I was just saying that, you know how the old expression goes, follow the money. You know the pronouncements that Dr. Davila has made in Parliament, but we just want to hear, now that they're talking about where they're going to put the resources, I just didn't hear a lot about what's going to happen in the family islands in terms of healthcare. So maybe when they go back on June 5th, I think that's next week, Wednesday, starting from that point on, maybe we'll get some more details. I just didn't hear it today.
Right. No, but like I was trying to say, but, you know, I'm Naughty. Clearly, you're entitled to, you know.
I got to get the sports, too, because I got a lot of people hitting me for sports. So let's wrap this up here.
No problem. Clearly, you're entitled to your beliefs. But the prime minister is on record. It will be a part of the budget moving forward. The arrangements are already made as it relates to Family Island facilities, as you're asking, MJ. Dr. Davila already explained that, we're already spending, I think, around $130 million to upgrade all of the Family Island clinics and to be able to provide a minimum level of service, and anything specialized that is required, naturally, you either go to Grand Bahama, you come to the capital, Nassau, or if the facility on Abaco can accommodate it, you go to Abaco or perhaps Eleuthera in order to get those needs met
from
a medical perspective.
Let's see them come to fruition, Anton, and then that would be beneficial to all Bahamians. Because we've heard a lot of talk about it. Now let's see the delivery on it. Anyway, let's get to sports. Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Anton. Thanks.
We got Pearly chiming in. I know Pearly zoomed in. So let's hear from Pearly. I know Pearly wants to talk sports. But one thing about Pearly, boy.
Yes.
You get Pearly, and she's taking mine.
With my like taking with it,
check
with
that's them soccer sports.
Who been on every show today, every single show, dominate your show. That's not so. I
dominate there already.
Dude who was talking the most foolishness. That's not.
Oh Lord, let's get the sports.
But you know, this can be with Pearly. Man, I mean, it's good for Pearly, we could go over, but it ain't good for Pearly. He's making noise.
See what?
I say, when it's good for Pearly, we can go over, no problem. But when Pearly ain't into that, and Pearly won't get to the Dodger game, don't go over.
I just, you know, I'm just saying, if you can talk that, then I'll come back another time.
No, man, it's all good. But, you know, anyway, I can leave that. Let's talk sport. I didn't hear you get dominated by that one on a couple Thursdays too, but I can leave that. We're talking sports.
You know, you got to understand, let some other people call in and then let's talk some truth. Because I'm still waiting on the license plates that I was told 4 months ago were being done, and I don't see them yet.
Well, listen, sometimes you have to let individuals talk in order to call BS on them. And that is why I let Anton talk sometimes, so I can make my little list and just revisit it and come back and say, BS, BS, this was legit, BS. I still waiting for the license plates. How long that was? Like a month ago? You all had that conversation? Where the license plates? I had 4 cars in front of me today with no license plate.
Okay.
Now, I also noticed, though, today it was said now people...
I could be watching my daughter game and sitting there listening to him talk, you know. We leading 3-0 right now about this.
That's why you're upset because you haven't lost 6 in a row.
You
got that big L on your forehead. You want to get off. So now that's rush two.
Now we've won 2 in a row. I rather slump in May. Don't come to me when you're slumping in September, you know. All right.
Anyway, this the same Pearly who becomes that guy. And I don't have to worry about Pearly right now, you know. In a matter of weeks, Dave Roberts got Pearly into that guy all over again. And we'll have our laugh all over again.
Very soon. Because Freddie Freeman bat starting to swing very soon.
It ain't Freddie. It ain't none of them players. You and I both know Davey Roberts could be your undoing, boy. He could be undoing.
Dave Roberts has not been my end on. He's done. If you got a team that you lose for your starting pitching and you still bet finish with the best record in baseball, coaching.
Oh, Jesus. You going that route again now? I like it when you say get rid of Dave Roberts, man. You no, back to playing the violin and not another fair back on now? You know, this bromance you got with Dave Roberts got to stop, man. It got to stop.
Hey, it's better than the one you got with LeBron.
I don't have that bromance. I don't have none with LeBron. It's pure hate right there. If you'd say, you know, bromance on Kobe or, you know, Michael Irvin, maybe, yeah, that's some of my favorite players.
Ain't no bromance on Kobe. That's Kobe. That's just straight up respect and love. That ain't gonna
be bromance. That's love. That's pure love.
You know, I look at you and I say, boy, if I didn't know better, Pearly trying to craft and carve Dave Roberts into the sort of part too.
Oh, no diddy. In your words, no diddy.
That's really not applicable there, Pearly, but you tried, and that's okay. Your kids are listening, and they proud too. But yeah, your Dodgers are 3-0. That's a good look. Yeah. Let's talk basketball real quick, though. Last night, boy, let me tell you, them Dallas Mavericks let me right down, man.
They can buy a bucket. I mean, I watched Kyrie go to the hole with his easy finger roll in the back of the rim, pop out. I watched Luka hit some, take some jump shots. That would be, well, it was money all week and was just rimming out in deep in the, all the way almost to the bottom of the net and come back out. But you know, I think that was Minnesota's game last night. Minnesota played their butts off last night, but that one ain't over when they go back to the game. That one over. Ain't getting
It's done. But what do you think was Luka's problem last night? Do you think it was nerves or do you think he was tired?
It was just an off game. Right. If you know, their games have all gone on to the wire, but they have to play tough games. If they had a game where it blows, where he can arrest in the fourth quarter. But last night, he had to be in there to fight it, and they almost won the game last night. It was just a good bucket by the Timberwolves that stretched it to 5 points, and that was it.
Right, it was at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Because I had three WNBA lead pipe blocks gone to bed. All I needed was Dallas by two, man.
Well, you know, it is what it is.
Somebody asked me why I put in for Dallas. I say, listen, let me tell you, it's been so long since we've seen a championship in Dallas. I would take a championship in any way, shape, or form.
It is.
Oh, wow.
And look at it like this, though. Look at it like this. You ready for it? You ready for it?
I actually pulling for Minnesota, but I don't think Dallas playing better ball right now.
But here's the method to my madness why I'm pulling for the Mavericks.
You open that inner championship rose through the top boys' eight.
No. Listen to me good now, Pearly. Tell me who the world champions are in baseball right now.
The World Championship in baseball, the Rangers, eh?
Texas Rangers. And if the Dallas Mavericks win basketball, the trifecta's coming to the tri-state area. The great state of Texas would have the three major sports championships in 1 year. The Rangers, the Mavericks, and thank you, Jesus, the Dallas Cowboys.
Naughty.
From mouth to God's ear. From my mouth to God's ear. From my mouth to God's ear.
You almost had me believing that just now. You almost had me believing that. I really thought that. I said, what championship do you talking this now?
Texans in baseball, Mavericks in basketball, Cowboys in football. It's coming. It's coming. It ain't going. It's coming. Mm-hmm.
I had some choice words, but I forget to be on radio. I thought he was in jokers.
Yeah. But you know the Lakers ain't doing it. You know your Dodgers still in a work in progress. And boy, I highly doubt if the Rams or the other team in L.A. get it done. So.
I could care less if the Rams or Chargers win it. I don't care.
And we know the Heat ain't getting it done. We know the Marlins ain't getting it done. We know the Dolphins ain't getting it done. So see?
The Dolphins can win the championship before Dallas.
Not even on PlayStation. Take that 1 win you had in 20 years against us and enjoy it. That's all you're going
to
get.
You know something, Naughty? You amaze me every year, like how you're able to get this fresh enthusiasm filled with delusion for these Cowboys, no matter how bad they play every year. Come September, it's like, oh, they're winning the Super Bowl. I don't know how you do it.
I like how you said delusion in there, you know.
That's your wife. That's your wife telling you that.
I'm just saying.
But this is the same person who has been broken down by the family who said to order her cowboy jersey this year.
Oh, do not tell stories. Do not tell stories on this air today. Don't do it.
Anyway, I can get Starboy. I can get Starboy Alan Donnie on for Friday then. Yeah, we gonna have to do this because.
Delusional.
I don't believe that for a minute. Who do you actually pull for, MJ?
I used to have a team back in the day, but they disappointed me so much I went on a little sabbatical. I used to pull for the Tennessee Titans back in the Steve McNair days. And then the organization just disappointed me so much. I just kind of been on a little sabbatical, but I still enjoy football, you know, still enjoy the games. So that's what I'm just waiting for some sort of resurgence of that team, and then maybe I'll be back. I don't know.
Well, they finally got rid of Tannehill, so it might be some resurgence.
Maybe. Fingers crossed.
You know, he threw Tannehill under the bus because that's the ex-Dolphin quarterback that used to have them stinking up the joint back in the day. Like,
he needs to go under the
under the wood, under everything. I mean, I get the point why my wife has issues with Tennessee, and that's fine. I have some of the similar issues with the Cowboys, but I guess, you know, when you look at the two franchises, one is a little more storied than the other, so it's hard to leave one rather than the next. But I get to that point with my Cowboys, though. I'll be honest with you. Getting to that point.
You know what I'm saying? You're starting to get the point with all your teams. You just saw you
were going to be a great guy.
No.
I was just going to say it. Look at the Lakers. The Yankees ain't too far.
The point is, he was anti-Yankee in the beginning of the season, but since the Yankees went on this little winning streak and these pitchers got a good game and they're looking good right now, he get a little comfortable.
Let me clarify it for the record so people know where my angst comes from. It has nothing to do with the Cowboys, the Lakers, or the Yankees. Win, lose, or draw with those teams on the field. I could take my lumps, I could take my wins, I could take my losses. What I've noticed over the last 15 or 20 years, and maybe a little longer in Dallas, and it has happened in Dallas with Jerry Jones a lot faster than it's taken to happen in L.A. and in New York. But all of those storied franchises had legendary owners who have passed on the keys to not-so-legendary children. And all the hard work that Dr. Jerry Buss did with the Lakers, as much as I was a fan of Jeannie early, garbage, what I see in L.A. right now. Trash. I look over at the Yankees.
You didn't take Rambus and his wife to help you make decisions. You gotta make
that's true.
I look over at the Yankees, and guess what? Hank Steinbrenner, you do not have the bravado that your daddy did. You cannot break out the checkbook like George Steinbrenner did, Lord bless the dead. Couldn't do it. Can't do it. Now, when I take what we got this year.
They're not free spenders like their daddy because they're trying to save their money for themselves.
And knock on wood, do I like what I see from my Yankees right now? Yes, but that don't mean I agree with what Hank Steinbrenner did. And with my Dallas Cowboys, sadly, Raider fans can relate to this. Jerry Jones is the new Al Davis. Trailblazer, maverick, part of the league. Some of the owners love him, some of the owners hate him. Always ready to challenge the commissioner. But until he passes on, the Cowboys aren't going to have a decent shot at doing anything. And if Steven takes over the reins, it could be even worse. Because like you say, Pearly, Steven is one of them rich people that shops at Walmart, that shops at the thrift store, that shops at the flea market. That's what he does. Look what we do in free agency every year.
We'll shop at the flea market.
Exactly. So that is why I'm upset with my team, because I know the way that sports is going business-wise, they're not there.
Maybe he showed
and the Lakers,
the Lakers, take care of Micah and CeeDee Lamb.
But hold on.
And Dak Prescott. So maybe he's saving that money to take care of them three players.
But the Lakers, all right, just let me finish this and then y'all could respond. The Lakers, they don't have a Jerry West showing up to save them like he did multiple times. The Cowboys don't have Hank Schramm there to nail it in Tech Schramm to nail it with the draft. You know what I mean?
And Chris Rambert.
Y'all have LeBron too.
The Yankees
don't have MJ. MJ, we on radio.
Coach, your general manager. You can have LeBron.
Ain't time for the picks yet, buddy, because MJ, you know.
Oh, goodness.
Only your friends or your wife could throw LeBron shade on you.
I tell you.
And with that being said, Listen, what it is. All of those teams have issues, and the key components that used to be there, like good GMs and stuff, are not there. So I don't like where we're going with this.
Because we keep recycling the same old dudes to be, and don't try to give some young blood, some fresh ideas in.
That's
we keep
true.
Recycling the same dudes every time. We look, oh, it's the same head coach. You've been coached five different teams in the NBA, and he never went.
That is true.
So, I mean, you got to look at it. And the NFL is a copycat league. People copycat as much as they want. Sometimes they copycat a bad thing rather than a good thing. And yeah, trends don't really last. Look at the Wildcat offense.
I know you have a problem with it, but I'd rather go with J.J. Redick, an unknown coach, instead of picking up a Mike Brown again or one of them other fellas who've been coaching four and five different teams and can't bring a championship. I mean, if you ain't going to win a championship with them, let's go pick J.J. Redick and see what he does.
At least we know coming in, J.J. Redick is a card-carrying member of the payroll, bronsexual, so we know what you're going
to
get out of him. You've
got to go back to Mike Brown or somebody like that. Or Vogel or one of them.
Will LeBron even work with either of them again? I doubt that. He's probably leaning toward J.J. for sure. So your options are already limited if LeBron is in a Laker uniform next year.
Well, I will tell you something now that's got me extremely upset. Bronny James declined workouts. He had 11 teams say they wanted to work him out. He declined workouts with 9 of those 11 teams and only took workouts from the Lakers or the Suns.
You know why I don't blame him? You had a good combine. You look good coming out of the combine. You don't want to mess that up. You go to these workouts and don't do the same thing during the combine, then your stocks drop. You be like the way it is. I don't blame him.
I don't like just for the Lakers and the Suns. That doesn't bode well for me.
Go to the Suns. He can do it for the Lakers because his daddy probably telling me he got to do it. And it's going to be a closed door workout, so you ain't going to get no words on it.
The bottom line is, if the Lakers draft Bronny, I'm up out of there, Pearly.
Why?
I'm up out of there.
Right.
Just take a sabbatical.
Because
if they draft him and win the championship, you know, I'm out of here. They win the championship. I do like,
it's not going to happen, but that's fine. It's all good. Yeah. What you all can't understand about me is.
He'll still count it when they're gone. He'll count that when they're gone.
No. Just know this. If you say you're up out of there, don't come around here, but you earned the right to come back and all that. You don't do that once. I let you know that now.
Pearly, I don't need to come back. I made my point about LeBron. It's played out. I was right. It's been a failure in LA the 6 years he's been there. Underachieved up the wazoo. I'm out. If they drive Bronny and they continue this foolishness up, I will pull out from the Lakers.
Put these caveats in there, MJ.
No. If they drive, I said it. I can't say when because I don't know if they're going to do it. But if they do drive Bronny, I'm up out of there, buddy. And Purdy, I will find a team, and I will hate on the Lakers the way I hate on LeBron. And you and I will have a good rivalry into our old age, depends, yes. That's how serious I am. Cold. Now, I tell you, we got to get to the break. So let's get to the break, and we'll be back to wrap things up on the Wednesday, May 29th edition of Talking Heads.
Baby, tell me where you gone. I've been feeling for your love so long. We can praise God.
Are you looking for a fresh experience? Look no further than Fresh Market. Our store is stocked with the freshest produce, meats, and dairy. All sourced locally and internationally for the best quality. With our commitment to freshness and our friendly associates, your shopping experience is sure to be a breeze. Come visit Fresh Market today and taste the difference freshness can make.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Stay informed with the Nassau Guardian, your news delivered. Are you tired of chasing down the latest news? Why not have it delivered right to your doorstep? The Nassau Guardian is now offering an unbeatable home delivery service. Special subscription rates. 3 months, just $44.80. 6 months, only $79.52. 1 year, an amazing value at $143.36. Your daily news fix all year round.
Don't miss out on this opportunity to keep up with the latest in local and international news, sports, business, and entertainment. Subscribe today. Call us at 302-2360 or 302-2353. Our friendly staff is waiting to assist you with your subscription. The Nassau Guardian. We've got the news you need. Don't wait. Call now and let us bring the world to your door.
Play with Island Games.
We're making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We're paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You're getting cash in your pocket.
Because Island Games is Boise, and Boise is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we're putting Bahamians first. Guaranteed to pay
Island Games.
We're like them other jokers. We've been here from the start. From the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Pizza Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your pizza sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Good evening. My name is Roscoe Thompson III. I am the chairman of the F&M branch here in Central South Abaco, and I fully endorse Michael C. Bentard as our next leader of this great party, the F&M. He has shown his leadership in the House of Assembly, holding this administration accountable to the Bahamian people, and he has done an excellent job in representing the House as opposition leader. I fully support Michael C. Bentard and his leadership because we need a new direction and we need new leadership in this party. And as I said earlier, come June 1st, Michael C. Bentard will be the next leader of the F&M and our soon-to-be Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Yes, yes, I working with Pintocracy, working with me. Boy, only working with Pintocracy, working with me. Man, I working with Pintocracy, working with me.
They say the sun, and I shine for all. But there is some people who get never shine at all.
On the Wednesday, May 29th edition of Talking Heads, and, I just look at some of these texts. Okay, hey, Prophet Naughty, don't worry about Pearly and that Robert Screw. Wait until they come to Yankee Stadium. Sweep, sweep, sweep. Next text to come in. Naughty asked Pearly if LeBron goes to Philly, will he be rocking a Philly jersey? Pearly ain't no bronsexual now. I can tell you that. He ain't no bronsexual. He's a Laker. But he ain't no bronsexual.
Never, ever, 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 ever.
All right.
The only Laker that left the Lakers that I still had love for was Derek Fisher, and he ended up coming back home eventually. That's the only Laker. Other than that, when you leave me, bye. See you later. I want nothing to do with you.
All right. We're going rapid fire now. Down the home stretch we come. All right? And I got the picks tonight all brought to you, of course, by the Island Game. Simply log on to theislandgame.com. Check out their sports book. Bet it, set it, and forget it. And they always remind you to play responsibly. Real quick, I like the Orioles over the Red Sox tonight at home.
I like that too.
I like the Rays over the Athletics at home.
I like that too.
I like the Braves over the Nationals at home.
They're playing Acuna out. I think the Nationals worse. Okay, yeah.
MJ, you chiming in. This is the picks section, you know. Me and Pearly have a bad habit. We just keep talking. You need to chime in with your picks, man. I know you watch baseball.
No, I wasn't saying anything on baseball because I'll be honest with you guys, with my schedule, I just haven't been following baseball. I catch Marlins games every now and again, Yankees games, some Dodgers games because I like Shohei and, of course, facts, but outside of that,
don't say that around Pearly. Don't say that around Pearly. I like Shohei.
I'm good.
You don't say things like that, Ron Dodgers, coming from a Yankee household.
Leave her alone. She's good people.
Don't worry. I can put Stat Boy and Donnie and you to deal with that. I can let them deal with the full Yankee brunt. You know?
No problem. Even though Donnie can't be in a Dodger.
He likes Shohei as well, so I don't even know what you're talking about. He can be a Dodger.
Don't worry about that. The time I finish him, he can be a Dodger. You can be mine, but he can be a Dodger. You can be my wayward son.
Not with the Dodgers. All the Yankees.
All right, and we got one game, and a couple of games in the WNBA tonight, buddy, just for you. You got
My girl played last night.
The Dream and the Mystics. I like the Dream to take care of the Mystics by three. I like the Liberty to win over the Mercury tonight. Mercury lost by a ton last night. They're playing back-to-back. I don't know about that 14-point cover for the Liberty, but I do like them to win at home. And I like the Aces over the Lynx by 4.5. I think they get it done by 4.5.
You say you like the Dream over the Mystics or the Mystics over the Dream?
I like the Dream over the Mystics by three.
All right, good stuff. All right. Mystics 0-6, yeah.
There you go. Well, we've reached our time, man. MJ, great stuff. Pearly, great stuff. I know you in tomorrow, Pearly, holding it down. MJ and I will be back on Friday. And Colin Coward taking us home right now, so that's a good breakdown. So great stuff as always. Good stuff, MJ. Good stuff, Pearly. And everybody called in, chimed in, texted in, called in. Good stuff.
See you, MJ.
Have a good one, Pearly.
Be good, Bahamas. MJ. If you can be MJ. Good. Be good at it.
I'm going to have a rough Friday and Saturday.
I know.
So, I hope for dinner Sunday, please. Thank you. All right.
All right. Group on Sunday.
Yes, super. Sounds good to me.
How come he gets... Right. Anyway, you know what? Mr. Producer, let's go to the break.
From a cat and a great night offensively from the face of the league by the trade deadline next year, Ant Edwards, and they won. Defense was better as well. But they don't get that offensive duo consistency the Celtics get with Tatum and Brown, or the Mavs get with Luka and Kyrie. And that's why they're down 3-1 and are not going to reel off three straight more wins to win the series. They got here with defense, and it's that defense that sort of bailed on them, or maybe it's just a bad matchup against Dallas. And I think most of it is a bad matchup. Their identity for Minnesota is size and physicality and an emerging star in Ant Edwards. And they're 7-0, by the way, Minnesota in the playoffs when they hold people to 100 or less. What's really interesting, though, about Minnesota, because I think they're really well-constructed, great front office, great coach, is what do they do in the offseason? What is the move they make in the offseason? Because that will tell us who they truly fear going forward, Denver or Dallas. If they move off Karl Anthony Towns and don't replace him with size, they're telling you they fear Dallas. They fear Luka. Because if you fear Denver, then you either have to keep Karl Anthony Towns, who is offensively inconsistent, or then replace him with somebody like a Mitchell Robinson with the Knicks. If you made a trade with New York, you got to at least give us Mitchell Robinson. But then you have two bigs that don't score, and that probably doesn't beat Jokic. So for me, Minnesota, this season's over. They're not winning four straight against Dallas, three more after last night. And I think their future is great. The front office, the roster construct. But that piece they can move around is one of those bigs. And if they move both of the bigs, which I doubt, then they really fear Dallas. If they don't move either of the bigs, what they're betting on is, yeah, the Kyrie thing will eventually implode. We don't think Kyrie is going to be in the way 5, 6, 7 years, 2, 3, 4 years. He's just on one of his heaters. But eventually, he won't feel right above the shoulder. Something will tick him off, like in Cleveland with LeBron, and he'll bail. And he's done that multiple times where he says he's happy an hour later he wants out. That was Cleveland. In Brooklyn, I love everybody, I want out. So my guess is Minnesota views not Dallas, but Denver as the future of the Western Conference, because they view Jokic as less temperamental than Luka, harder to defend. Both are great, but I mean, there's just nobody out there with Jokic. He's the distributor, the passer, the scorer, the driver. He can run the ball in transition. So I think it'll be interesting to watch what Minnesota does. It'll be a tell. They'll tell you who they fear. Now, Oklahoma City's going to be tough, too. Keep your eye on the Warriors, Lakers, whoever. But what they do with Karl Anthony Towns, if they just move off him and shrink a little as a team, that tells you they think Dallas is the future. I tend to think Denver is the future, and Dallas and Kyrie right now and Luka on a heater. But I don't think it's sustainable over 3 or 4 years because Kyrie's personality. This is one of these things I like about sports, is that everybody knows Jason Tatum is really good. But there are different standards for different franchises. I mean, I've said this before. If you do the all-time starting five for the Lakers, the logo, Jerry West comes off the bench. It's a different standard to be a Laker. And there's a different standard to be a Celtic. So Jason Tatum's never won an MVP and has no titles. Ooh, five All-Star games. That would rank him tied for 13th most in Celtic history. And people keep telling me, Colin, you're very tough on Tatum. He's very young. No, he ain't that young. Luka's younger, Ant's younger, Halliburton's younger. A lot of the stars in the league are younger. He's a veteran now. This is his 7th full season. He plays hard on both ends.